Chala Perek Dalet Mishnah Yud Aleph 4:11, the last Mishnah in Maseches Chala. And the Mishnah continues on to discuss cases where people brought things to Eretz Yisrael, but the rabbis rejected what they brought. The first case is Ben Antigonus He'ela Bechoros Mebavel. This fellow Ben Antigonus, he brought animals, firstborn main animals, cows, goats, and sheep, as korbanos, as a bechor, firstborn bechor korban, but he brought them from Chutz La'aretz, from Bavel. And the din is that one isn't to bring animals, firstborn animals, from animals that were born outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's really learned from a Hekesh, the pasuk that talks about Maaser Sheni, also talks about Bechoros, and therefore it's understood just as Maaser Sheni is only brought from Eretz Yisrael, Peros, the fruit of Eretz Yisrael. So too, only the animals of Eretz Yisrael are subject to the mitzvah of a Bechor. And therefore, Velo Kiblu Memenu, they did not accept these animals from him. They reject those animals and did not bring them as Bechor offerings. Now, you may know that in Maseches Temura, the third parak, there's a sheet that just that to the opposite that says if once a Bechor is brought into the temple, so now it is offered as a Bechor Korban, meaning B'diavad, once it's been brought, you don't turn it away. So it seems there's a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael, and our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva, that you do reject it, even B'diavad, whereas the Mishnah over there goes like Rabbi Yishmael, that it is accepted B'diavad and brought as a Korban. The Mishnah continues in a new case. It says, Yosef HaKohen, Havi Bikure Yain V'Shemen. Yosef the Kohen, he brought Bikurim, I guess, that had been given to him, that would be, he would bring and then have for himself. And those Bikurim, those first fruit offerings, normally is given as grapes or olives. Here he brought them as wine and oil. So it sounds like the reason why they're rejected, it says, Lo Kiblu Memeno, the rabbis did not allow for these Bikurim to be brought in front of the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. And it sounds like the reason why is because they're not grapes and olives, but rather because they're now oil, like the liquid form, oil and wine. And however, you might recall that from the end of Maseches Trumos, not long ago, in the 11th parak, we said that when it comes to the Bikurim that you bring, one could bring two liquids, wine and oil specifically, not others, but those who you could bring, so no pomegranate juice, but yes, grape juice, and yes, olive oil. Question, therefore, is why were they not accepted here? And the answer is, the Bartonur explains, when these particular grapes and olives were picked, the harvest at the time, they were intended to be consumed as grapes and olives, not as wine and oil. So then, in such a case, it's not proper to then go and squeeze those grapes or olives and turn them into wine and oil. They should now be brought as is, meaning in the fruit form. That's not what was happening here, and that being the case, the rabbis rejected this wine and oil to be brought as Bikurim. Af, hu he'ele banav uvnei veso, the same fellow, Yosef HaKohen. He brought his wife and children, banav, his children, b'nei veso, other members of his household, which ostensibly includes his wife also, la'asos pesach katan b'yushalayim, to bring the, what we call Pesach Sheni, offering in Jerusalem. The basic mitzvah is, there's a Korban Pesach brought on the 14th of Nisan. If you're Tamei or you're too far, whatever circumstances are, sometimes you are not allowed or unable to bring the regular Korban Pesach, so then there's an obligation to bring a month later on the 14th of Iyar a Pesach Sheni, what they're calling here a Pesach Katan. However, the obligation to bring the Pesach Sheni is a mitzvah on the men of the household. It's not obligatory on the wife of the household. She could bring it if she chooses to, but she doesn't have to. In contrast, the first Pesach, the primary Korban Pesach, must be brought by a participating woman as well as her husband. And as for the kids, so during Pesach, as one of the regalim, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa for the children to, at least the male children, to be present in the Beis HaMikdash and show up. And therefore, of course, they participate since they're there in the Korban Pesach. Really, everyone who can even a kazayas of meat from the Korban Pesach is participating, obligated to participate, but not true when it comes to the Pesach Sheni. Again, there's no strict obligation, no firm requirement for the children to participate with their father. The father could have done it by himself without bringing the children. And therefore, the Hechzeruhu, the Mishnah says, they, the rabbis, sent them back. In other words, they didn't allow for the wife and children to participate in the Pesach Sheni. And the reason why is because Shelo Yikva Hador Chova, lest the people of that generation see Yosef HaKohen as being an exemplar of proper behavior, and they'll say, just as Yosef HaKohen went and brought his wife and children for Pesach Sheni, so really the right thing to do, or the ideal thing to do, is to bring your wife and children to do Pesach Sheni also for extra credit, if you will, and that's certainly wrong. We didn't want people to think that was the case, and in fact, in the case of women, it could be a big problem, because since women are not obligated to bring the Pesach Sheni, if Pesach Sheni, meaning the 14th of Iyar, falls out on a Shabbos, so then the men would have to bring it anyways, because the Pasuk requires it, and he would bring the Pesach Sheni on Shabbos, but women certainly would not be allowed to bring it, since it's just optional in their case, and therefore even worse things could happen than just getting a misimpression of what the proper behavior is. And therefore, they sent Yosef HaKohen and his family back, not accepting the wife and children's Pesach Sheni, so that people shouldn't misunderstand the halacha going forward, and that would be a mistake and a problem for the future generations. That being the case, move on to one more case here in the Mishnah, and here are the cases of Ariston, that's his name, Shehevi, he was Hevi Bikurav Me'apamya. He brought his Bikurim, meaning his first fruits, from the town of Apamia. Apamia is a place in Syria. And Syria, we've said a number of times already, just to the north of Eretz Yisrael, basically modern-day Syria, which was conquered by David HaMelech and has like a quasi-Eretz Yisrael status. So even though really technically Midorais, that's not Eretz Yisrael, it's really like Eretz Yisrael in a number of ways. And one of those ways is that Trumas HaMaisers are taken, just as Trumas HaMaisers are taken in other bordering areas around Eretz Yisrael, Midrabanan. But in addition, Bikurim are taken in Syria, which is not true by other bordering areas, even those that are obligated in Trumas HaMaisers. So the obligation to take Bikurim in Chutz La'aretz is peculiar, it's unique just to Syria. And since Ariston lived in Syria, in the place called Apamia, so he brought his Bikurim, the Kiblu Menu, and they accepted those Bikurim from him. Mipnei, because Sh'amru, they had a saying, that's just a saying, this is on a pasuk, Hakona b'Suria, if one purchases land in Syria, Kakona b'Farvad sh'b'Yushalayim. It's as if he purchased just like on the land, just on the outskirts of Jerusalem. And just as Yushalayim is, you know, Eretz Yisrael prime, and obviously one brings Bikurim from there, so too, similarly when it comes to Syria, all the produce there, if there's Bikurim, they must be brought from there. Now you may ask, we learned earlier in the Perek that, at least according to some Tanaim, Rav Gamliel, the Syria land is Tameh, and you would say, how could you possibly bring Bikurim, which are Tameh, from Syria? So the answer is that while it's true according to Rav Gamliel, it is Tameh, the land is Tameh, the air is Tameh, that doesn't necessarily mean that the Bikurim would be Tameh, because unlike Challah, which already has had water mixed to flour, and therefore it's always it always will come tameh, and therefore in the previous mission we said under no circumstances will we ever accept challah from Chutz La'aretz. In the case of Bikurim that are coming from Syria, so if the Bikurim never were wetted, like he's bringing pomegranates and the pomegranates never were wet, so the pomegranates could come from a tameh place, but the pomegranates themselves could remain tahor, and that must be the case over here, that the Bikurim that he brought were tahor Bikurim, and therefore they were accepted and offered in front of the Mizbeach there and eaten by the Kohanim. And with that, we finish Maseches Challah, Tzalik Maseches Challah, Baruch Hashem, and next we begin Be'ez Hashem, Maseches Orlah.